you for tuning in to the Victory Lane podcast. This evening's episode features a discussion with the good folks from VSCDA, and in particular, an in-depth look at their driver school. If you're interested in getting into vintage racing in 2021, I think this is a podcast for you, as well as if you're interested in VSCDA or racing in the Upper Midwest, there's some good information about their events and what's going on this year with them.
And hello.
Good evening. Thank you, Alex.
Delighted to be here. And once again, want to thank you and Victory Lane for all the coverage you've given VSCDA and the whole vintage racing world.
And, well, it's absolutely our pleasure to cover VSCDA, as you're well aware. And looking forward to a great 2021 season. I know we're going to run a little interview I did with you and a number of the folks shortly ago, but I think you have some updates about Gingerman.
Sure. You know, at Gingerman, where we have the driver school, we have north of 20 participants already signed up for the driver school, which is a very big turnout to begin with. I'm pretty certain we're going to hit north of 30. And the one thing that I would like to make clear is that we are very comfortable that we will have instructors so that we can maintain our tradition of one instructor for each driver. And I think that makes it a much better experience for everybody. And we've made that commitment, and I see no reason why we won't do that. So that's really good. And I'd love to encourage folks to, if they're planning, to register as soon as possible. Our early bird promotion ends in a couple of weeks, but the sooner you get registered also, the sooner we can work on pairing the driver up with the best possible coach.
I understand part of that process is that with registration, you do a little interview with the drivers to make sure to get that pairing correct. Is that right?
Yes, we get back to them and talk to them and get the right fit. Exactly. And that's part of the, I think the beauty of this program is that the hands-on side to it, but it does mean it needs a little more, you need a little more advanced time so you can put those pieces in place the right way.
Yeah. Is Gingerman a great place to learn to drive? I mean, is it scary fast? Is it challenging? What's it like?
It's challenging, but it's also very safe. And I think that's a wonderful part of it for somebody who's new, because there's plenty of runoff where you might embarrass yourself, but the only thing you're going to do is be on a bunch of grass. You don't have an agricultural experience, but that's the extent of the downside to it. So it's good.
Right.
It's a Wilson design track. So it has all kinds of challenges built into it, head games, et cetera, but also some really fun straightaways and things along that line. Great fun. And actually, that's where I had my first VSCDA experience long ago in Far and Way. And my instructor, Rick Malonick, became a good family friend. And those sort of things just kind of naturally happen out of a VSCDA driver school and racing weekend. Hmm.
Well, let's encourage everybody then to get registered and get there and get racing. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And we look forward to meeting new folks as well as their old friends. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And with that, we'll jump right into our interview with Alex and the crew and a few of the things that they're going to be doing in 2021, including short course V8 racing and a very thorough explanation of the driver school by the chief instructor. Good evening and welcome to the Victory Lane podcast, everyone. I'm Kellick. Tonight I have with me Kurt Marquardt from VSCDA, Alex Rourke, the president of VSCDA, Stacy Donato, VSCDA administrator, and Brian Garcia with Short Track V8 Racing. And we're going to talk about VSCDA's upcoming 2021 season and their plans for things like driver school, dealing with COVID as it still exists, and having a great season in 2021. Thank you and welcome everybody to the call. Alex, why don't you give us a quick intro on what's going on with you guys?
We are, as a club, coming off of having had what we thought was a great year while dealing with COVID, and want to give thanks to all the folks on this call, especially Stacy. We did comply with every reg possible, and we're able to still have a season and have it be safe for all of our participants. And nobody can know for sure what's going to be happening as we go into the racing season this year. but we are confident we will have a full season, and we know how to comply with the regs and to do it both, I think, with both the letter and also the spirit of what's attempted to keep everybody healthy and safe. And give a lot of credit there to Stacy for having helped us pull that off last year. The only thing we had to cancel last year was our first event, which is actually really important for VSCDA and vintage racing. We call it our spring break weekend, which is usually that last weekend of April going into May. So it's April, so straddles April and May. And that's where we have our driver school, which I'd say long ago and far away I went to, and it's really a wonderful way to learn how to race and to race these sort of cars. And it's tied into our overall spring break weekend, which Kurt chairs. And unfortunately, we had to cancel it last year. It's back with a vengeance this year. Turnout looks like it's going to be great. And I think I should really turn this over to Kurt for some comments about the weekend.
Awesome. Kurt?
Yeah, like Alex said, you know, it was too early in the year. We really didn't know how to handle it or what to do. So it was better just to walk away from it. But this year we're coming back with, I believe, 30 to 40 people, new drivers, going to be coming in through school, possibly even more. So that being said, a couple of things that we've done this year to provide a little more comfort, a little more spacing. We're going to put up a 40 by 100 tent to have outside, to have the school in, which is also going to help us with our meals to be able to distance, you know, have the pavilion and the tent for that also. So that's going to help us out there a little bit. The school is actually, of course, it's, you know, put on by Scott. I just handle everything else except for the actual classwork, but that's going to be start on Thursday afternoon. And on Friday, they'll be on track. And then when they pass the school, they'll be actually racing on Saturday and Sunday too. So got a couple other things coming in. You know, like I said, Brian has got the V8 Short Track Challenge Series, and he'll be talking about that in a little while. An Alfa Romeo feature race, and then also the Spridget Series race, which is ongoing, I mean, for years. So it's been there longer than I've been. So usually get a pretty good turnout for all of it.
Yeah,
hoping for a lot of Alphas too.
Why don't you give Kurt us a...
He races an Alfa, so he has real passion.
Ah, okay.
When they say, you know, just make this event whatever you want it, then you got to have an Alfa race, you know. So
right.
So we've got Kurt, who sounds like a German guy in an Alfa. We've got Ron Suave, the other brand, and he's in a Spridget, right?
Yeah, correct.
You guys have your car ethnicities confused. I'm not sure about this. why don't you give us a quick 30,000 foot on what the driver school experience is like, classroom time, instructor to student driver ratio, do I get in-car coaching, how does that work?
Yeah, no in-car coaching. They do put the instructors on different corners, and then they'll all meet after the sessions when they come back in. It is one-to-one, driver to instructor. So the classroom, and I'm not even 100% sure how they're going to work that. I think they're trying to do some online and then some in class. And then when they come back, the instructors will come in and review all the drivers after their sessions too. So, and it is fast. I mean, it's really fast paced on Friday. Thursday, like I said, I'm not sure how much of it's going to be online. We'll probably have a driver's meeting online also. But even with the students going through school, I want to, at minimum, have them attend a driver's meeting on Friday morning before they go on track, just to get the experience, to know what to expect at the next races. So,
right. And Stacy was nodding yes when you said online driver's meeting. So,
yes. And there'll be material sent out in advance for folks to read up on, have a little of online work to do to make sure they're ready for it. And then, so we will be taking advantage of as we expand our ability to work online in advance. But once you get, you know, to the school itself, the contact is really good. I'm not going to promise it's all one-to-one, but it's pretty close to that with the caliber of very experienced racers who are doing the driver school. we've had, folks have really enjoyed this because you're sharing the passion with folks that are doing this because they love the vintage racing, they love VSCDA, and they love bringing new people into it. So it's a different kind of experience from if you went to some place where it's, you know, there's no long-term relationship that comes from it.
Yeah.
And you'll have many, many people at VSCDA tell you who their original driver instructor was and things along that line, which I think really helps build the club feeling.
Yeah, maybe. That's something we hear quite a bit, is that if you're going to do vintage racing, that doing a vintage school as opposed to a school focused on SCCA or something like that is a very important part of the experience, especially with building people that are, you know, vintage cooperative. I don't know what the right word is, but they have the right spirit for vintage. So
it looks like Scott may be on here. Scott, are you on? Is there anything you'd want to add to this? We see sort of a picture of you, Scott.
Yeah, you got to unmute.
Scott, you're on mute. You're on mute.
Unmute. Okay, perfect. That's better. Hi.
Hi, Scott. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm sorry?
Give us an introduction. Tell us who you are.
Oh, please. Hi, I'm Scott Foreman. I've been vintage racing with VSCDA. I think this is my 30th year, and I'm a chief instructor for the school.
Awesome. We were just discussing the sort of nuts and bolts of the school, and we'd love to hear your input.
Wow, that's somewhat daunting. Well, you know, let me address exactly what you were just talking about when I was finally able to get on. And that is, the school is really primarily focused on safety and etiquette to make certain that the people that are getting on track know what they're supposed to be doing, know where they're supposed to be, and know what the difference between class racing, let's say SCCA, and vintage racing, which there are a number of cute expressions that I can run through if you like about what the difference is. But we think it's really important that the people that leave our school who race with all the other VSC organizations represent VSCDA well. And what we get back in the way of feedback is that we are very safe, very sane, and pretty darn quick. And that's a combination that I would say is perfect for vintage racing.
Yes.
We speaking for ourselves, it always sounds a little self-serving, but I think we enjoy a very good reputation as an excellent school. And I think one of the principal reasons for that, and Alex was addressing it, we try and keep the ratio 1-to-1 of student to instructor. And we spend the time using the interviews that we have before the school to try and tailor the talents of the instructor to the specific needs of the driver. We get a lot of people who are retiring SCCA racers, and with them it's more about teaching what the difference is on track. But we also get a lot of people who've had a lot of experience and are looking to brush up. And with those people, we're able to give them instructors who drive similar performance cars. And there's always one thing that will make a big difference in how somebody's doing. And to be able to practice that in a controlled environment with everybody observing them, because all the instructors observe all the students in each group, and then get real honest, hard feedback. We get a lot of people coming back year after year, even though they don't have to go to the school, because they want to go to the school. And I think that's the highest praise we could think of.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like the product is obviously a good fit to the market. So,
well, Alex was addressing the passing the joy on. You know, there is just something about when you finally watch a student click and they suddenly have a whole new world open to them. It's, as an instructor, it's really an exciting thing to see. And for the students, for them to suddenly realize that it's well, I we were talking about this the other night, that when you learn flow, when you learn how to dance in the car, it's a really special thing. Bert Levy had a wonderful expression for it. He says, of a really good car, it's fast. Of a really great car, it doesn't have any faults, but of a truly wonderful experience, the car goes away and it's just you in the road. And I think that's kind of what the goal is, not to make you the second coming of Mario Andretti, but to have you have that epiphanal experience of truly flying. It's a great feeling.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great description of the experience. So what the, give us the rundown, Kurt, on the weekend. What's going on? What time do things happen? What can people expect from Gingerman if they haven't been there?
A good time. I mean, honestly,
I like that answer.
It's my home track. I mean, honestly, I'm close by, and that's probably one that you had here. But Thursday, you know, open the gates around noon, and then your students, of course. This is unusual year. This is, you know, so this year I'm not really sure how it's going to happen, but you know, going to be able to get in on Thursday around noon. Tech Barn is going to be open for students that Thursday. And basically for students only. And then Scott's going to take over from that point. You want to make sure everybody's fed on Thursday night and then mornings too. But, you know,
do you want to, do you want me to address Thursday and
yeah,
Friday?
Because I really don't know what's going to happen here.
Those are the school days. Kurt already touched on the fact that it's open for students to take their cars. And then toward the about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we start a seminar in which we review all the information the students should have already seen before they get there. But most of the safety, the etiquette, some basic performance information. And then we are trying to get in a track walk. We've discovered that actually walking the track with the instructors is something the students really value. They find they learn a lot. And we may actually move the station wagon runs to Thursday as well, but it depends on how the weather is. Michigan in April, you'd think would be spring. Not necessarily. But we try and finish early on Thursday so everybody's fresh. They come in on Friday. We'll do a series of controlled runs with ever-increasing speeds, followed by a review. We typically break the school into a small bore, a large bore, and an open wheel class. And we're really looking to see that people get comfortable behind the wheel, that they really feel that they have control and what is really supposed to be expected of them. But it's a very arduous day. There's a lot of thinking, a lot of driving, and a lot of debriefing that takes place. And then we have a celebration in the evening, and we're going to have to rework this a little in the time of COVID, where students get their certificates to be able to vintage race. They'll be obligated, of course, to complete 3 races without incident, and then they get the X off the car, and they are free to explore the world of vintage racing throughout that. And then we come to Saturday, and Kurt, I'm going to let you pick up there.
Yeah, and that's just pretty much fast-paced, a lot of track time. You know, we'll, like I said, we'll have the series races on Sunday. And I think the sprint race might be Saturday. I don't know. I have to really check the schedule again. But it's a pretty full weekend.
If I could add a couple of things. One of the, I think, the great advantages to having Gingerman for the driver's school is that it is a very safe track. And there's plenty of runoff, and certainly, you know, you're going to have some folks there that are, you know, have certain degrees of experience in doing this refresher, but it should give comfort to somebody who hasn't done this before that he or she does have runoff room, which is different from a lot of other tracks. You're not going to, if you have a slight mistake there, you're going to be maybe feeling dumb because you're sitting on the grass, but you're not going to be running into a bunch of things, which I think adds to the having that as a good location. A little bit different twist on the safety side, but also to mention something that Kurt had touched on. we've rented a very large tent. This is not to have hundreds and hundreds of people in it. It's so that we've got this location where we can feel that people can be getting instruction, but be sitting far enough apart from each other that they're comfortable. It can be used for other things, but I think that, and including, let's say, the ceremony, and the final part is our goal is to have everybody succeed going to the driver's school. But I think it's actually one of the advantages with our being a club and a not-for-profit that we want everybody to get through and go to that ceremony. If somebody really isn't ready to race, we're going to tell them that. And that's for that person's advantage, is a benefit, and everybody else. But there is no pressure on us, you know, from a revenue producing side to be doing something like that. And I've actually haven't been in some of the well-known driver schools. There were a couple of people that I saw get through and I thought, I don't know. So just wanted to put that there's the
You know, toward Alex's, I'm sorry, Alex, toward that very point, principally people fail because their cars don't last long enough to make the sessions, and we can't pass you if we haven't actually seen you drive. But yes, there are the occasions when we have to take somebody aside and say, this may not be something that you're really ready for, or really you're going to feel comfortable with. And we do it, I think, not only for that person's safety, but for the safety of all of the people that vintage race. They're leaving with our imprimatur on it, and we need to make sure that people are fully versed, fully capable, and sane. We don't have a whole lot of people who are gung-ho crazy. The people that graduate from the school really do have an understanding of what it's going to take to race safely. And that we consider to be our principal focus. But yeah, if we see somebody that we don't think is quite ready, we have absolutely no incentive to pass them for any reason other than the fact that they're ready to do this or they're not ready to do this.
Right, as it should be. Certainly, as you want to have the ability as an instructor to grade people as they are and not as there's some outside pressure to do. Okay, let's see. So just to, we're talking about the VSCDA Spring Break at Gingerman Raceway. It has the driver's school and then actual wheel-to-wheel racing. And it's scheduled for Thursday, April 29th through Monday, May 3rd, 2021. And since we have Stacy here, we'll ask, you're taking walk-up registrations. Anyone can just show up at the gate, pay the money, and jump right through. Is that correct?
We try to get you to pre-register, especially the students, because we will be handing out things virtually for them to participate in, to read prior to. So if you're a student, it's much better. Earlier is better. Because you need to be signed up with an instructor and there's just some more preparatory there. We are going to try to make registration as touchless as possible, but we will accept those last minute entries if you just cannot physically get it done ahead of time. However, you will be using your own devices. I will not provide devices at the track for you to register on. So be prepared with laptops to register if you wait until that last moment.
Got it. So if you're a walk-up, bring the tools to register.
That's right.
And please register in advance, actually. That's what we want to we want to say.
Especially the students, yes, because you don't want to.
The students need to be registered a week prior to the school at a bare minimum, because we just can't do the personalized detailing without that.
Right. You were saying that you actually interview each student prior to the school. How does that work?
It's labor intensive, but what we've discovered is that there's a twofold benefit. Number one is we know what they're good at and what they're not good at, so we can assign the correct instructor. But the other thing is that it creates a sense of community. You know, the question, are we a club that races, or are we racers that are part of a club? I think one of the things about VSCDA is we've tried to make it much more embracing and complete, and that begins when you come to the school. People have a chance to talk about their concerns prior to showing up, show a lot of calmer, That's a good thing for a school.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
If I could just get to one other thing when you're talking to Stacey about, where we still are going to, as you mentioned, try to do as much as possible where you don't have to be touching a lot of things prior to, you know, through the registration process. Who knows if what the rules will be in Michigan at that particular time, but the work that she put in last year, streamlining things, which you heard a lot about, and which we saw a lot of other, quite frankly, a lot of other racing groups emulate, we'll be implementing as much as possible. We're just hoping that we're not, and anticipating that we're not going to feel the same weight as we did last year with COVID, you know, just sort of, you know, appearing out of nowhere and people being as worried about how do you deal with it, how do you stay safe, et cetera.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought I was being funny there when I said, oh yeah, we're going to do drive up, because I've gotten the lecture and the answer is touchless registration, which is possible by pre-registering. And that's the proper drill here. And if you want to do the school, register in advance so that you can take advantage of all that's offered at the school.
Right.
Brian's been very patient here. We should probably bring him in. Brian, I saw your email tag. I'm assuming you're not a blue oval guy or a bow tie guy. None of that is.
No, I'm a Mopar guy, which is a rarity in the world of road racing. Oddly enough, I didn't come from a family that was really into racing, but had a my best friend since second grade, his dad hill climbed a 1970 Barracuda, and just kind of grew up with that and fell in love with that. And you know, I started out racing when I got to I bought the Barracuda that I race now as an empty shell when I was still in college, because I didn't know anything, and I thought that I'd have it done in a year and be out there and running. And life happens and took a lot longer than that. So I had a weird step to where I'm at right now, but I started out, Blackhawk Farms is my home track. And I started out with SECA and Midwestern Council in, small improved touring and small production, small bore stuff. And, I love smaller tracks. I've got a group two mind, but a group six body. I fit into large cars much better. As I built my, you know, my Barracuda, through a weird, set of circumstances, I ended up, getting asked to drive a Cheetah too, which I've done now. We're going on, 10 years now since we first brought that out to the track. So, yes, not a blue oval or a bow tie guy, but, I do spend a fair amount of time working on and driving a Chevy. I like I said, started on the short tracks, and when I started driving the Cheetah, and when I finally got the Barracuda done, I really enjoy, you know, Road America's 3 hours away. It's kind of our home track as far as the Cheetah team goes, and I finally made it to you know, to the big bore world like I wanted to, and then I noticed that we have really well attended events at Road America, and then we go to some of these other tracks and I don't know where everybody goes. And you know, there are a lot of guys that have had experiences, you know, that they didn't enjoy the short track experience, but where I, you know, started thinking about it this year and decided to do something is there's a you know, it's a good thing to see. There's a growing group of young, not that I'm young, but you know, for vintage racing, you know, 40 somethings that are you know, coming into group six, and some of them have never raced anywhere but Road America. And when I ask them why, it's because they were told that well, you know, big cars run on big tracks, and you know, they've kind of set their schedule around, they'll only run up there, you know, three times a year, and don't get to experience, you know, what we do on other tracks as well. And over the last couple of seasons, we've had really good luck with the Father's Day event at Blackhawk Farms, getting a dozen or so group six cars out there, and have had some really, really good racing. And again, I'm biased, it's my favorite track, but it's it's not easy to drive a 16-foot long, 3,000-pound, you know, car on Blackhawk Farms, but, you know, you're never bored. You're always doing something. And, you know, everybody that's tried it here over the last couple of years seems to enjoy it. So, you know, VSCDA has, you know, sponsored some great challenge series here since I've been, you know, around VSCDA the last 10 years or so with the Spridgets, Trans Am B, and some of the Formula V stuff. So I'm trying to do the same thing, but trying to get some of these V8 guys to certainly not abandon Elkhart Lake, because we want to see everybody up at the Elf, but to give some of the other events a try.
Of course. And so who runs with you? What kind of cars? What's involved in this?
So we, you know, Group 6 is, you've got A production, B production, Trans Am, and then we have, so that would be small block Mustangs, small block Camaros, and then like in A production, you'd get Corvettes mixed in there as well. The difference between like the TA class and say the B production class would be some of the preparations in terms of, you know, if it was built for a Trans Am series, it's under 5 liters, you know, they were allowed to run, you know, homologated disc brakes and things like that. I'm not trying to stratify this group too much at this point. So really the criteria is pretty basic. If you qualify for Group 6 with VSCDA, if you are a V8 powered production car, you can, you know, run in the series. You know, it wouldn't be open to, you know, say like a NASCAR stock car, because it's not a production car, but Mustangs, Camaros, you know, I actually am helping a guy out that's, he'll be out at the school at Gingerman that's building a 1970 Challenger. So I've been helping him out, you know, trying to get him on track. And muscle cars, but then also VSCDA has done a great thing with the G70 class, where trying to open up from the traditional like 1974-ish cutoff for vintage cars and open that up to cars from the 80s as well. So that same criteria, I think, so production-based V8 car that was made up through like 1989, and you would qualify for G70 with VSCDA, you can come out and run as well.
Got it.
The core is going to be those same, the Mustangs, the Corvettes, Camaros, right? And then an occasional Barracuda, just to,
yep.
To
you probably won't see another one. Yeah.
But you know, that balances that, you get some more Mopar there. So that would be a
exactly. Part. There you go. And you know, I've had a few questions about, you know, will there be like a, you know, a separate, I know with the Spridget series, when they keep track of points, you know, there's a few different levels based on displacement and things like that. You know, really, I think what people will find, you know, if they come out and run with us, is that a big block Corvette has way more advantage on a track like Road America than it will at Gingerman or Blackhawk. So I'm not really concerned at this point of separating a V8 production sports car from a sedan. You know, I don't want to have a solution looking for a problem. So, you know, this year it's just about inclusion and trying to get people to come out and, you know, experience the tracks. Or, you know, the ideal situation would be if it's somebody that hasn't run with VSCDA before, you know, and comes out and tries one of those events, and, you know, maybe that's their gateway into running more events with the club.
Well, let's hope that at the end of the year you find yourself so successful that you do have to go in there and put those striations in place, right? So you've got enough cars.
Be a wonderful problem to have.
Exactly. So what events are you participating at this year? And how many people do you have signed up already?
So there'll be 4 rounds this year. It'll start with the spring break at Gingerman, and then round 2 will be the Blackhawk Classic on Father's Day weekend. Round 3 will be at Groton in the middle of August, and then The final round will be back at Blackhawk for the Blackhawk Toberfest event, October 16th and 17th. So we're going to do a podium for the feature races for each weekend. And then I do have a point system that is based, it's very, very similar to the Sprigit points, where it's not just about your finishing order in the feature race, but the heat races, and then also how many laps did you complete during practice, so it's not you can't show up and run, two laps in practice and skip the heat race and do well in the feature race and, come away with most points for the weekend. So we're just trying to get people on track and, trying to reward consistency as well as far as the whole season goes. And also, when we say we'll do a podium for each event, it's still with the vintage spirit in mind here. It's really doing that podium is really less about the, getting a medal for finishing, in the top three in a feature race, and more about just getting the group six guys together, because I've seen with the Sprigit guys and the Formula V guys, they congregate, in certain areas of the paddock, and it really gives a good opportunity to build that, that group mindset and, gets more people excited to come out and do it. Whereas group six, traditionally, in my experience anyway, tends to be more scattered out throughout the paddock, and we see each other on track. And, last year I met, a lot of guys that I've been running against for years for the first time, just because, I put the effort to go forth and do that. So trying to get everybody, give them an excuse to get together after the race and tell some lies.
There we go. Well, is there anything you'd like to talk about, which, about the particular challenges of driving giant cars on tiny tracks? Is that...
Well, I put the word challenge in the name of the series for a reason. I've had, in talking to people, since I came up with this idea, I've had a lot of people tell me why, give their reasons why anyway. For and Groton, for example, all the things that are going to be difficult to do in a group six car, and good, it's supposed to be hard. That's the fun part of it. I have just as much fun screaming down, I can have as much fun. Kurt and I ran the airport race at Put In Bay a couple of years ago. It's where he and I kind of got to know each other. And I had just as much fun trying to tiptoe my Plymouth through the hay bales as I do, doing 155, going into turn five at Road America. It's a different challenge. And I like the fact that you can't race it the same way. And yes, the track isn't quite as wide. Change your driving. You have to be able to adapt. And, Blackhawk in October is different than Blackhawk in June, because it could be 20 degrees instead of, 80 degrees. And that's the fun of it. I mean, we're, in vintage racing, we're doing this, for the enjoyment of it. There is absolutely no monetary reason why anybody would possibly want to do this, for their financial gain. If you're not having fun doing it, why are you doing it? And I think that just going up and running at the big track, you're closing yourself off to a lot of other experiences. And yeah, it's hard. And, you might want to do some push-ups and things like that, especially if you don't have, I'm manual steering, manual brake, and with me in the car, it's about 3,300 pounds, and there's nothing easy about it. But man, is it fun! And when you can get a land barge like that to to drift nicely through 3A, 3B, and into 4, and Alex said before, get to the point where you kind of lose the or Scott said you lose the car, and you're just thinking about the track, then it's very easy, I think, to find that zone, to find that flow at the smaller tracks.
If I can just add one thing directed toward you, Brian. Blue 53 MGB, we have raced together, and all I can tell you is how in the hell you wheel that thing. It's big, and you really do get speed out of the thing. I have chased you on more than a few occasions and not caught you. And typically on a track like Blackhawk, I can run down the Corvettes without any problem in an MGB. I can't catch you. You are something else on track.
I appreciate that. And the other thing, again, you know, selfishly, the thing I like about the short tracks is it's an equalizer where the horsepower doesn't matter quite as much. You know, I'm pretty fortunate that if anybody has seen the Cheetah run at Road America, it's not slow. You know, it's well built, and that's a professionally built motor and things like that. The Barracuda, is, that's a pump gas motor that I, you know, build in my garage, and I can go up and I can, you know, ring it to the extent that I'm able to at Road America. But I'm never going to be able to keep up with, you know, with somebody that's got a motor like we have in the Cheetah. But at Blackhawk, you know, it is really more about, and tracks like that, Gingerman, Groton, it puts more on the driver. Road America is a challenge, but it's a different challenge. I think that, you know, it's easier to, you know, to really level the playing fields when you don't have 3/4 of a mile in between corners.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys run. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't wait to see you guys run at Groton. I'm so looking forward to that.
But it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it too.
And compared to Road America, you won't be able to take a nap on the straightaway.
It's true. When I got my license initially, I was driving a Dodge Neon. So the straightaways at Road America and the Dodge Neon, you absolutely do have time to check your gauges, you know, think about life for a little bit and stuff like that. It's, you know, especially the Barracuda is not quite as bad. The Cheetah, the straightaways still go by pretty fast and, you know, you got to pay attention. But I was able to, after years, I was finally able in 2019 to convince the owner of the Cheetah to let me run it at Blackhawk, which she had some trepidations about before, but man, what a blast. I'll drive it anywhere. Like I said, it's, I'm not picky. I started out autocrossing too. So, you know, if there's a place to drive it, I'll take it.
That's great. And by the way, really, all of us want to thank you for all the initiative. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, we should go do something. But to put the effort into making it happen, that's really what counts. And thank you very much, Brian, for doing that. I mean, it's seriously.
Happy to do it. So I'm, you know, if I can bring, you know, some of the membership to the other tracks or bring other people, you know, into the fold to populate these events. And, you know, I want to see the sport continue. You know, that's the best way to do it is try to, in, you know, with my narrow focus of, you know, my group, I kind of see the culture change that's happened. Even the time that I've been around, and I want to do my best to, you know, try to get the word out there. And, you know, Victory Lane's always done a great job. You know, a lot of the photographers that cover our events, you know, I've had a chance to talk to a lot of them and have seen them at different events. And I'd say, you know, it's probably the biggest constant as far as whatever track I've been to. It always seems like there's somebody from, you know, from Victory Lane there, you know, taking pictures or writing the story. And I think from just a, not just a pretty picture standpoint, but also, you know, the effort that you guys take to cover the events as an actual race event and not just, oh, hey, look at the pretty cars. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you. That's, I mean, there's obviously a lot of effort that goes into that, and we're glad that somebody's consuming it on the other end. That's always a positive. And your enthusiasm for this is palpable. And I think, you know, obviously takes that kind of spirit to get things organized. How do people get in touch? Do you have a website? Do they just go through via CDA, or is there a V8 short track? What's the nexus of communication?
So right now there is, you know, VSCDA, you know, reaching out to VSCDA would be the, you know, certainly a way to get a hold of us. I did start a separate Facebook page for the series, you know, just to start getting information out there. You know, I've been Between work and having my hands in two cars, I've been pretty busy, even though it's the off season. So I need to get some more information up there. But you can look up the V8 Short Track Challenge on Facebook, reach out. I moderate that page, so you can reach out to me, or reach out to any of the event chairs, or Alex at VSCDA, and he can put you in touch with me. We're going to, the registration for Gingerman is just opening up now. So as people sign up, I'm going to be doing driver bios for everybody that signs up, trying to, put their information out there, in the hopes that it'll draw some other like-minded people in, but also give them a shout out for coming out. So I've put a couple of those out already to people that have said that they're coming, and still looking for creative ways to continue to promote this. So I'll keep doing the best I can to get the word out there, and hopefully it's the first season, and I've got I think attainable goals for what we're going to see. It's really not the kind of thing where I'm expecting to get 30 cars coming out to do any of this, but like I said, 12 large production V8 cars at Blackhawk has been a lot of fun, and if we can get anywhere near that at the other events here in the first year, I think that'll be great. And I'll do what I can to make it even better next year.
Right. Well, I think the short answer to that is the number of cars that do turn out for events at, for example, Road America, proves that there are more than enough cars in your area to do that. It's just a matter of convincing them that this is fun, and by God, you better be doing it. So,
absolutely.
Alex.
I don't know if you wanted to add anything in this. By the way, we just opened the registration for Gingerman, but I do know that and I don't want to be pinned down a specific number, but we've had the inquiries for the driver's school really have been way up. So I'm optimistic about that having very substantial turnout for it. And I'm assuming also with the added little pop here from the V8 series, and folks not having had the chance to race it at Gingerman last year, I think Kurt is going to have a grand time with his event, and we're going to have plenty of people there, and Brian's going to have a good time, and Stacy's going to be very, very busy as always. I don't know if Stacy wanted to add anything else. I don't know if she's still on or not. If I could, I just wanted to touch on one other thing. And then maybe we'll have a subsequent call about other parts of the season. But one thing that I do think is of significance that will be happening at the ELF is that Peter Brock is going to be our honored guest. And it was interesting back earlier when there was the references, to the blue oval versus the bow tie.
Yes. But
Brock designed both the 63 Corvette and the Shelby Daytona Coupe. And sort of in honor of that, we are going to be having, it will be the, the classic Ford versus Chevy type races with others participating during that weekend. And to have someone of his importance for the, for vintage racing and for the cars that we, when you can touch both the Corvette, the Cobra, the Datsun 510s that won, that won everything in the day. That's remarkable to have the person who was behind all that being there. So that's one more of all the usual plus these extra pops at Elkhart Lake. So I think that's something to look forward to, and we can talk about more in the future too.
If I could just add one thing, when you do your registration, like we did say, we wanted to try to make it as touchless as possible. So there is going to be some additional paperwork that's going to be provided for you ahead of time. Please just fill that out and get it back, so that it's a smooth transition once we get to the track, because we're thinking about racing. We are not thinking about paperwork, and it goes much easier if you've already done all of it ahead of time. So just work with me to get it done.
Thank you, Stacy.
That's a great way to wrap it up.
Right, let's put some urgency in this. Get registered for the spring break.
And the school,
that's right. And the V8 short track challenge.
Absolutely.
That's a very cool thing.
Yeah. All right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Everybody good?
All good. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for doing this.
All right. Good night. Again, we had Kurt Marquardt, Brian Garcia, Alex Rourke, Scott Foreman, and Stacy Donato with us tonight from VSCDA. We're talking about their spring break event, which is just around the corner. So you can check that out on their website. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you can go and take a look at our website. And have a great evening. And thanks for listening in tonight.